Morning. Happy Easter. It's good to be with you. Especially a warm welcome to those who are visiting us this morning. It is so great you can be here. What is a very special day, and we're going to be looking at that this morning. And so I encourage you, if you do have a Bible, to keep it open. And if you like to take notes, there is also on your bulletin, there is space on the back of that to take notes. Now, there are times in life that change everything, right? For me, that moment arrived on the 17th of November, 2021. In this moment, my life changed. It was a moment that I held my firstborn son for the first time. I remember holding him. I remember the sound of that first cry. I remember when his eyes opened at me. I even remember the first time I changed his nappy, though my wife asked me, "Do you remember that?" I do remember that. I remember the weight of him in my arms. And in that room at Westmead, I had a realization that came over me. My life would never be the same. That I wasn't just a husband anymore. I was now a father responsible for that little one. And the thing is, in that moment, I couldn't take it back. I couldn't unfather myself. I couldn't return to who I was the day before. I couldn't do that. And I didn't realize at the time how much that little person would change my life, my wife's life, for good. And in our world, we had these moments happen as well. These, what you would call global earthquakes that change the ground beneath us. Moments like this. Moments like the Industrial Revolution. I don't know if you've heard about, but only a couple hundred years ago, every person used their hands to do everything. They used wind and water to farm, to work, to live. But then when this Industrial Revolution came in, this event fundamentally rewrote human existence. It shifted humans from using their hands to using machines, fossil fuels, and mass production. It changed the world. All the world wars. Right, in a span of a generation, the world wars, they shattered the whole world's sense of security and optimism. The whole map of the world was redrawn, and how nations related changed for the worse. Or when one of those came out, one of these iPhones came up. I don't know if you remember when they came out. This moment is when the phone didn't just become a phone, right? It became your bank, your camera, your TV, your shopping mall, your notebook, your library, your music player, just to name a few. There's a whole generation that lives now that will never know when a phone was just a phone. These moments change humanity significantly. But the thing is, right, these are just moments that have come and will go or have gone. But what if there was an event in human history that changed the trajectory of not just humanity, but creation forever? An event that was about one person who conquered the one thing that no one has ever conquered before. An event that happened over 2,000 years ago that people still celebrate, that people still believe in and even give their lives for. Well, today, friends, as we look at what we see in God's word from Mark's gospel account, my hope is that we won't just see this event as just a religious story, something that we celebrate, but we will see that this empty tomb confirms something life-changing. It guarantees something life-changing, and it's something that calls for a response that will change our lives for the best. So firstly, what does the empty tomb confirm? Well, the resurrection, the empty tomb confirms the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. Now we have to start with a hard reality this morning. That if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, we are in serious trouble, friends. That's what Paul, an early follower of Jesus, puts bluntly to a church in Corinth, in Greece, was 2,000 years ago. He says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. you are still in your sins. Now, friends, think about all the ways that maybe you have disobeyed God and not lived his way, but gone your own way. The words that you wish you could take back. The thoughts you were ashamed of. The selfishness, the self-centeredness in our hearts. If the tomb is full, then those sins and God's anger against it, well, they're still hanging over our heads. We still have a debt to be paid, friends. And that's the reality of those three women we read about. That's what they were carrying as they went to the tomb over 2,000 years ago. Because they thought that Jesus was dead. He was defeated. They thought all those years of following him were a waste. They thought they were on the losing side. Imagine if you had a person you looked up for years, but he wasn't just an ordinary person. This is a person who you saw heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the demon, teach life-changing truths, but now was suddenly taken away, was beaten, mocked, and hung and died on a Roman cross. These women, they were filled with grief, with despair, and the weight of their own failures just felt heavier than ever before. And so when they turned up to that tomb, well, the tomb would be full. They would see a body. They would see Jesus. And they loved him so much, they came to honor and pay respect to him. But when they arrived, not only was the tomb wasn't just opened, it was empty. And not only was it empty, one of God's messengers was waiting for them with this message. "Don't be alarmed," he told you. "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they put him." What this means is that the empty tomb tells us that the debt of sin that was against us, the punishment we deserve to pay, it's paid in full. The cross was the payment. The resurrection is the receipt. It's God's way of saying to us that the check is cleared. Forgiveness of sins is no longer a maybe or hope so. It's a confirmed reality on offer for everyone. For the disciples who had betrayed and abandoned Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane 3 nights before. And for Peter, who had sunk to the lowest point in his life when he had denied knowing Jesus 3 times. And he likely thought, well, there's no way back. And friends, maybe that is you today. Maybe you feel like a Peter. Maybe you have a secret, a failure, a regret that makes you feel like you don't even deserve to walk through the church doors this morning. You feel like you have to work off a debt by doing good things, by doing works to be even with God. What I want to say to you, friends, is that the empty tomb is God's way of saying to you, well, that shame you are holding on to has been lifted. The debt is paid in full. Receive his forgiveness. Receive God's forgiveness. That's what the resurrection confirms for us. But the empty tomb, the resurrection, it doesn't just look backwards. The resurrection guarantees that death is not final. Guarantees that death is not final. Now pause for a moment on this. Now someone rising from the dead, right? It was just as ridiculous in the first century as it is now, right? If you've ever been to a cemetery and you've gone there to pay respects to a loved one, right? You're expecting that the grave will be full, that they will still be in the grave, right? You're not expecting to turn up and find it not only empty, but there's an angel that's sitting on top of the gravestone telling you that your loved one isn't there anymore, has actually hopped on and gone to the next suburb, right? Right. No wonder the women are overwhelmed, astonished. This is a once in a history, all history kind of event. This has never happened before. Because death, according to the world then, in first century Israel, and even now, is final. There is no way of coming back. But not for Jesus. Death didn't have the final word on him. as we read earlier, Paul, one of the same follower of Jesus, he declares, even taunts death, saying these words: "Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, death, is your victory? Where, death, is your sting?" He's saying that Jesus, the Son of God, holds the power over life and death. He is the risen, living King who has slayed the power of death once and for all. He's kind of like Simba from the movie Lion King, right? If you've seen this movie, right, the whole land thought that Simba was dead, the rightful king to the throne. And the pride lands were covered in darkness under the evil rule of Uncle Scar. But miraculously, with a lot of encouragement, Simba returns. He returns from the dead and he defeats his enemy and takes his rightful place as king. Now, unlike Simba, who we actually find out wasn't dead, but he was just hiding in the jungle, Jesus was actually dead, friends. And he didn't just survive an uncle's plot. He conquered the grave itself. He declared that he is the only death-defeating king. He is the greatest of all time. And he didn't keep this a secret. We actually see in the Bible that he showed himself to the disciples. And not only to the disciples, he showed himself to over 500 people, we find out. He wanted everyone to know that death is not the end. And friends, he holds that same promise to us today as he told his disciples. "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, that is Jesus, even if he dies, will live." What he's saying is if we trust in him, if we stop trying to be the king of our own lives and follow the true king, we are promised not just life, but new, resurrected, eternal life. It's like Jesus is offering an upgrade from a tent to a permanent, beautiful home. Now, with a tent, it wears out. It's good for a while, but eventually it wears out. It leaks and eventually it collapses. You don't expect a tent to last forever. And friends, that is our current state of our bodies, right? They're fragile, they're temporary and decaying and will die. But imagine being given keys to a home that will never decay, that will never break down. We will never need repair. It will be perfect and permanent. And that's what Jesus promises to us. He doesn't promise to us something temporary, something that will collapse, but he's offering something that's perfected, that is permanent. A permanent, perfected body like his. Now, we live in a world that is obsessed with extending life through things like medicine, diets, fitness, technology. What the empty tomb, what the resurrection of Jesus guarantees is so much better than that, friends. It's transformed, eternal life. I think we all want that, don't we? Because news like this it's big because it's not just nice news. It's not just a comfortable addition to your life. It's groundbreaking and life-changing. Just like that moment I had in the hospital when I held my son for the first time, you can't unsee this truth. You can't go back to the way things were. Right, the Industrial Revolution meant you couldn't go back to the rhythm of farm in the same way. With the iPhone, you couldn't just go back to a world without instant connection, though some try. But more so, the empty tomb means when we can never go back to a world where death is the king. Because the debt has been paid, friends. Death has been defeated. So the question today isn't, did it happen? Because of the evidence, not only history, not only just the witnesses, but the empty tomb stand before us. The question today is, how will you respond? How will we respond? Because if Jesus is truly alive, it means that he's an historical figure. He's the king of the universe. He's the king that has power over death and sin. And so if he has that power, then how we relate to him and respond to him is a matter of life and death. And the Bible is clear that there is a day that this living king, this same living king, he will return and we will all meet him face to face. And on that day, we will have to give an account of our lives before him. And the thing is, if we face that day on our own, well, the reality is that we are facing with a debt we cannot pay. We cannot pay it back. And we are in a tent that has collapsed. We have no hope on our own. But today, this same king, he is offering, he's standing in front of us, offering to be our substitute king before he is our judge. He's offering you, he's paid in full receipt this morning. He's offering you the guarantee of a future permanent home with a permanent perfected body, friends. That's how much he loves us. And we say at the end of Mark's account, in response to this wonderful news, we see the women flee. They run in silence and in fear. And maybe that's how you feel this morning. If Jesus has really paid the debt, if he guarantees that death is not final, well, then we aren't in charge anymore. And that meeting this living king face to face one day, it feels weighty and life-altering. And the temptation is that we can just leave this service this morning, we can go out in silence and just pretend that we didn't hear any of this, acting like it's just another day. But friends, I want to invite you to something better than that. I want to invite you to fearful faith. This fearful faith doesn't mean that you have to have all the answers. It means that you stop running from the reality of the empty tomb. You start running towards King Jesus. It means saying to Jesus, Jesus, I don't have it all. I don't understand it all. But I believe that my debt is paid in full by you. I believe that you are alive. And I want you to be the king of my life. And later in the service, we're going to hear of someone and celebrate with a friend of ours who has made that life-changing decision, who's run towards our living king. And I want to invite you that you can make this decision this morning as well. I'm going to invite us to pray a prayer for us to pray together in a moment. And the thing is, there's nothing magical in these words, but it's just a way of telling Jesus that we are done living our own way. We are done living as our own kings. We're done living in these tents. And we want him to be the king. We want him to be the king of our lives. And if you pray this prayer this morning for the first time, I would encourage you to come and share that with me, one of the ministry staff, a trusted friend or family. We love to celebrate that King Jesus is your king with you and love to follow you up with that. Because just like that moment I had in 2021 in that hospital room with my son, once we see the empty tomb, our lives will never be the same. The stone is gone. The tomb is empty. The debt is paid. Death is not the end. King Jesus is risen. He is alive. How will we respond this morning? Let me pray. Jesus, I admit that I've been living too long as the king of my own life, living for myself, and that I deserve to die on that cross instead of you, Jesus. We believe and thank you that your empty tomb is the receipt that declares our sin is paid in full, declaring to us that we are forgiven once and for all. Lord, we believe that you are the living king who conquered the grave, guaranteeing life after death. I choose today to turn from my sins, my self-centeredness, and every part of my life that does not please you. I choose and give myself over to you as the king of my life, the king who guarantees forgiveness and new eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. We're gonna stand.